From the Sunshine State to the Buckeye State,
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski in for Bill Radke. California isn't the only state facing budget woes. Ohio needs to plug a $3 billion gap. The state couldn't pass a budget before the start of the fiscal year. Ashley Milne-Tight reports on one sticking point.
Ohio Governor Ted Strickland has always been against gambling, but the state's budget shortfall has forced him to rethink his position. His plan would introduce slot machines at Ohio's horse racetracks. He believes gambling could bring in more than $900 million in revenue during the next 2 years. James Brock is a professor of finance at Miami University in Ohio. He says the state's evaporating tax revenues are one reason to try this, and there's another one.
Over recent years, more and more of the states bordering Ohio have legalized gambling, and so the feeling seems to be that, well, people in Ohio are gambling, they're just gambling next door, why don't we let them gamble at home and keep that money here?
Brock says the issue has been put on the ballot before, but the majority of voters rejected legalizing gambling. Tight times may have caused a change of heart. A recent University of Cincinnati poll found 60% of Ohioans supported the move. I'm Ashley Milne-Tight for Marketplace.
It could be an anxious holiday weekend for top executives of General Motors. They're waiting for a ruling from a bankruptcy judge. GM wants to move quickly on its proposed deal to sell its good assets to a new company. European shares are still mostly flat right now. In Asia today, most markets were lower. Wall Street really felt yesterday's weak unemployment report. The S&P lost nearly 3%. The Dow lost 223 points, more than 2.5%, to close at 8280. The Nasdaq was down 2.7%. If you're vacationing this holiday weekend, you could be saving money on accommodations. Or if you're not going anywhere, you could be making some extra money. Some new online travel services are pairing up people with extra beds and sofas with travelers looking for somewhere to crash for a small fee. Timothy Beckworth has the story.
Robert Rutherford lives near the beach in Los Angeles. For the past few months, he's been renting out his bed to total strangers for $75 a night.
So this is the view. So yeah, you can see a little bit of the water out there.
Rutherford is one of thousands offering their futons, couches, and bedrooms as crash pads on airbedandbreakfast.com. The site gets a commission of up to 13% on each booking and operates in more than 1,000 cities around the world. It's known as peer-to-peer travel. The half-dozen websites offering the service tend to get the most traffic during major events like the Super Bowl. Still, travel industry consultant Peter Yesowicz says the idea's appeal is limited mostly to 20-somethings.
And at that stage in life, there are probably not only certain financial motivations, but clearly social motivations. But I think as those travelers begin to age, I think what you're going to see is their interest in some more conventional lodging alternatives will begin to become more pronounced.
Venetia Pristovec of Hollywood rents her pull-out sofa for just $25. And though she doesn't make pancakes in the morning, she can stand in as a hip concierge.
We're so helpful telling them, like, the best restaurants to go to. Like, it's like having your own personal tour guide. And so that's why we kind of like the idea of when we go traveling, staying with people like that.
Peer-to-peer services aren't just limited to couch surfing. ParkAtMyHouse.com, for example, lets people convert their empty driveways into carports for cash. I'm Timothy Beckworth for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by ConAgra Foods, the people behind brands like Marie Callender's, Hunt's, and Ready Whip. More at conagrafoods.com.
The Tour de France kicks off tomorrow in Monaco. TV ratings for the race are expected to go up this year thanks to the return of a certain seven-time winner of the event. Names like General Mills, Nike, and even General Motors are among the companies signed on as advertisers. The Versus Network is airing the race in HD, and it's counting on the buzz. One man assures us it is there. We caught up with Versus announcer Phil Liggett. He's with us from Monaco. Thanks so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
This is your 37th tour. What's your state of mind going into this year's event?
Well, this year, everybody's excited because We never thought we'd see Lance Armstrong ride the Tour de France again. He retired after he won in 2005 for a seventh consecutive time. It's a record which I believe will never be equaled. And here he is, out of retirement at 37 years of age. Perhaps there's a clue there, as it's my 37th Tour. And I think he'll be a contender. I think Lance will possibly be on the podium in Paris. Maybe not the win, but certainly we'll know he's been in the race.
Now, I know certainly your concern is not with the business of cycling, but this incredible event and the sport. But I'm wondering if you are noticing more marketing around you and big names kind of trying to step into the frenzy of this all.
I think we are, very much so. The publicity caravan, which precedes the race by an hour, is as busy as ever with companies buying into the race and paying a lot of money too. $2,000 or $3,000 a day is what they pay just to put the vehicle on the race roads. And I think that whereas the world is facing a recession, people have been turning to bicycles to save money. And in London, for example, where I live, there has been an 80% increase in riding bicycles. And I'm delighted to say an 18% drop in casualties on the road as well at the same time. So I think, yes, the money in the sport is not short. It's coming in all the time.
So how are you seeing this increased interest in cycling translate to what people want to know from you heading into the Tour?
Well, I don't just do it for the American Versus Network. I also commentate for Australia, for South Africa, and for the organization, which puts a special 30-minute program to the world every night as well. In all, we reach 150 nations around the world during our commentaries on the Tour. And we know by the feedback, they have an enormous number of viewers. Apart from the Olympic Games or perhaps a Football World Cup, they are telling us that we are the highest rated program in the world, taking the world audience. It's quite amazing, really.
Okay, here's to your 37th Tour then.
Thank you.
Longtime cycling commentator Phil Liggett, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Whether you're sitting back watching the race or racing to a barbecue, have a nice weekend. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.